Blog Talk Radio.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce. Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias. But they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67%. With grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as general health benefits, giving support, encouragement, and other aspects of living the barefoot lifestyle. Being barefoot is legal. Unfortunately, there is a lot of stigma around it, a lot of fear, and a lot of this Unfortunately, a lot of the stigmas and fears around barefooting and a lot of these misconceptions do stem from propaganda. In the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, this was kind of its own cultural resistance to, ideas that weren't aligned with ideas of what is traditional and what is socially acceptable. During this time, we started seeing a lot of liberal rights movements, just liberation of different people during this time. And unfortunately, there was still a lot of work that still had to be done even after this time period, and there's still a lot of work to be done in so many different areas. Between a lot of this social, cultural, legal liberation, desegregation, and, the hippie movement or the Western counterculture movement, all these things definitely put a lot of fear in traditionalists and bigots. And so this had led to, its own rise up. So there were people that did, at one point really try or want to, ban barefooting, but or outlaw it. But there have never been any actual existing laws in the United States against barefooting. That is propaganda. Unfortunately, there are a lot of no shirt, I was going to say no shirt, no shoes, no service signs. Now, I'm not really entirely, there are different, ideas on what is considered a shirt, and we're not going to get all into that. And of course, there are certain laws within reason. But that is its own thing. But really what I meant to say was like the no shoes, no service thing. I think I'm just so used to reading all three because, you always see them together. But the no shoes, no service thing is actually wrong, false. It's illegal. It is legal for any business open to the public to have that kind of sign or postage saying that, that they discriminate against barefooting. It's illegal. That is not something that is open up to the store owner or the business or any, that's not something that they are allowed to have their own beliefs around and discriminate and pick and choose on. That's just illegal. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting, but also barefooting is a protected right. There are so many different aspects of that. People barefoot for spiritual, cultural reasons. People barefoot for, I feel like I said that not exactly how I want to, but, people barefoot for cultural and heritage reasons, and, and so that there's big aspects within that being a protected right. People barefoot for religious and spiritual reasons, those are protected rights. People barefoot for different medical reasons, whether that be for your mental health, your physical health, whatever combination that may even look like between, that is something that is your protected right. You have that right to do what you need to do for your physical health in terms of barefooting. The ADA recognizes barefooting as a legitimate accommodation for many disabilities and chronic illnesses. And health issues, they look at it as a legitimate issue in terms of accessibility. So this isn't just something that is open up to each individual business for interpretation or to have their own views on or decide who can be in their store or to have their own practices on cleanliness, because it's all bullcrap, you know, those arguments against barefooting, those arguments for discriminating, especially in a place that is supposed to be safe and open to the public. If you're, think about it. I mean, of course, like, accidents happen, like, you know, things can break, you know, no place is completely, like, you know, avoidance of harm, you know, that's something that's really hard to do. There are just natural mistakes, consequences that happen. Gravity is a very real thing that affects us all. It leads to accidents, whether that be breaking things or, you know, just getting hurt in some other kind of way. People trip, people fall, like, accidents happen, and there's no way to really make any kind of environment completely accident-free. Like, that's kind of something that's unavoidable. Accidents are inevitable. It's just kind of like, I feel like that's just kind of like a basic universal law, is really, if you think about it, like, we can't have full control over things like that. And even if, you know, there is a hypothetical situation in which we would have to go to immense extremes to do so. So that wouldn't really, you know, that's not exactly something that's practical, right? But at the same time, if your store is open to the public, it is open to people, and especially that, like, all people, you know, that includes small children, you know, that are rambunctious and don't exactly have any discipline or executive function development that does overlap with, but, you know, prefrontal cortex development, they don't have those judgment-making skills, they don't have the life experience, and however that may look, like, versus an adult, you know, and you are, you have to think, too, somewhere where teenagers also reckless, careless, you know, can be hormonal, you know, and this isn't to dismiss their opinions. I think that children and teenagers are whole people already. They're just not fully developed to adulthood. Like, you know, they're not fully developed people, but they're still their own full, whole people, if that makes sense. I think that the way that we look at, I think that there needs to be an important distinction between that, honestly. And I think about how, even in my own experiences, how, and then just like looking at the world, how we kind of have, we've stripped children and teenagers of their autonomy on so many levels. And this is nothing new. This is something that's been ongoing for, you know, a while. And I think we need to understand that they're not mature enough. They make dumb decisions. They are very, especially more prone to accidents. But they're still their own whole, complete people that are deserving of autonomy. And I actually do want to talk about that a little bit. Hopefully, I'm not exactly sure what the timeline on barefooting with children and teens. But, you know, their brains are not fully developed. They do not fully have the life experience and just so many other things that are crucial to their development. But at the same time, children and teenagers are still whole people. They're not missing components. They're just lacking development and lacking experience. And, you know, they are still deserving of autonomy. They just need help learning how to safely exercise their autonomy and their rights rather than needing to be controlled. They need to be taught and shown safe ways of doing what they want to do rather than you can't do that. And yes, there are certain things that there should be, you know, and lines and limitations on that I'm not going to, you know, argue about or get into, you know, on what isn't appropriate for children and kids and things like that to be doing or isn't safe. But there are a lot of things like barefooting that are really just things that need to just be discussed, and kids need to be shown safe and teenagers need to be shown safe ways of exercising that autonomy and making their own decisions and making their own choices and doing what's right for themselves. And like with barefooting, you know, doing something that's right for their mental, physical, spiritual, or emotional health through barefooting. But of course, you know, teenagers and children can be a little more reckless, careless, you know, not always thinking things through, more impulsive, There can be rebellious and components in teenage years with, I think it's like psychological reactive or reaction is what it's called. I don't know. I was just thinking about now. Where, you know, if there's this natural rebelliousness that, you know, does develop in the teen years that is a part of the natural lifespan development of finding your own identity and developing your own boundaries and developing your own sense of identity and just learning to interact with the world and just kind of putting yourself out into the world. And that's honestly, like, I feel like not the best explanation of it, but, there are these natural rebellious tendencies. There are these natural curiosities of the world. Kids and teenagers, you know, they want to do what they want to do because they're people too. They're people that also want their own autonomy. And the more that someone feels the control, the more they're going to lash out or, you know, freak out. And I can say that, like, looking back, you know, in my own childhood and teen years, that, you know, you know, a person can only take so much. And, you know, when you feel controlled or you are being controlled, you're going to react eventually. But especially at the same time, too, there is, it's also, there can be a perception is a big thing too. Even if someone isn't actually being controlled, if their perception is that they're being controlled, that is what is their internal reality. And unfortunately that can be an issue, and rebelliousness though can exist for so many other reasons. But I think the best way to work with issues of discipline and rebelliousness is understanding why is this issue existing, and how can, you know, you reason and solve, or maybe you should be more accommodating with children and teenagers as the adult than expecting teenagers and children to just have it all figured out, to how to comply, to know what their needs are, to know how to take care of themselves. And I think, too, with, you know, barefooting, especially with, you know, neurodivergent children, you know, April is Autism Awareness Month. And acceptance month, and barefooting is a huge aspect of accommodation for many autistic people with sensory and stimulation issues. However, of course, it is not, you know, a one-size-fits-all experience being autistic or barefooting or any sensory experience or stimulation or any of that. So, is, you know, this can look very different for many different people, but also there are a lot of people on the autism spectrum that barefooting is not a legitimate accommodation for them because of their specific sensory issues and stimulation issues. Barefooting can also be an accommodation for ADHD as well, with those sensory and stimulation issues. With that, or with anyone with, sensory processing disorder, or any other form of condition that may cause abnormal sensory sensations and experiences in the body. Having fibromyalgia from experience that can cause many weird, obnoxious, painful, whatever. Just there's a spectrum of things. Sensory experiences, and because of the way that it is neurological and interacts with the nerves and the neurons in the body. Sometimes, I mean, it feels just legitimately feels like there's bugs crawling on my skin, you know, and that can be a mix of sensory issues. And whatever anybody's reason is, you know, this is something that can be a legitimate accommodation. And there are so many other different disabilities, whether that be neurodivergent or some kind, neurological, you know, some kind of physical disability, whatever that issue is, there are so many different things in which barefooting, you know, can be a legitimate accommodation for, and helping with pain management, helping with mobility, helping with stress management, and just sensory and stimulation issues. And anxiety, there are connections to, you know, the benefits of grounding and being barefoot with anxiety and anxiety disorders. That was, you know, a big reason why we got picked up by, I believe it's Indy Mix 105 Internet Radio. But, you know, one of their coordinators, and, you know, this is something that, you know, he has felt comfortable sharing, and, you know, he had shared an episode that we had a while back when we, you know, had first announced, you know, coming on with, I'm so bad with names, and every time I look it up, I get more confused, I feel like, but I believe it is Indy Mix 105 Radio. But anyway, or 104, it's going to be the death of me. It's 105 or 104. I am so sorry, guys. I got to double check that. Anyway, you know, he has had, you know, issues with anxiety. He had a lot of issues with anxiety and different, apraxia speech and the words just trying to move, silly, and he had issues with anxiety and having panic attacks. And so, you know, with his own different issues, you know, the coming across barefoot is legal and was, you know, something that he really had, you know, supported because he had had a therapist that had recommended trying to barefoot and, you know, try grounding to help with his anxiety and his panic attacks. And it was something that really did help him. And so when he came across Barefoot is Legal, you know, and Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. Because of this, you know, just wanting to have this support for what we do and, you know, what we have to talk about with that. And I think it's really important to understand that there's so many different benefits to barefooting and grounding. And there's so many different ways that barefooting and grounding overlap, but there's so many different ways in which they are different. You know, barefooting is obviously being barefoot. And obviously being barefoot, you're, you know, grounding. But at the same time, like, there are other ways of grounding than just being barefoot. Even if you're somebody listening that, you know, can't barefoot or may have limitations to your barefooting, you know, there are other ways of grounding. And finding really any way of being able to touch the earth is definitely one way of doing that. So if you have sensory issues that is keeping you from being able to directly barefoot, you know, touching your feet directly to the earth, you know, I found that, you know, wearing socks can be helpful. Sometimes it's not really helpful. It's hard enough, especially if the grass is wet. Personally, wet socks is I will self-combust at any moment. Like, I am on fire now. I can't, you know, it's just, you know, it's a good way to send me over the edge, for sure. I just can't, no. Wet socks is literally one of the worst things to me. And I know it sounds so dramatic, but hey, that's sensory issues for you. And if you think that it is dramatic for me to say that, like, oh my gosh, I'd rather pull my teeth out than, you know, go out in wet socks. And yeah, that is might seem dramatic to you, but honestly, that's being autistic. That's the drama. That's the drama for you. It is having a very dramatic sensory experience to things, unfortunately. Just as it can also sometimes that extremeness within our sensory experiences can be the extreme opposite of not feeling it until it's way too late. Which is way, you know, it's its own issue. Actually, and but being barefoot actually does help a lot with issues with interoception, being more aware of those things going on in the body. You know, it helps remove so much of that overstimulation. So there are so many different aspects, so many things about this that barefooting that makes it such a crucial accommodation to autism. And with April being Autism Awareness Month, you know, it is important to Autism Awareness and Acceptance Month, I do think it is important to, you know, put that out there, like I do, that, you know, this is a legitimate accommodation. But also with that being said, I do recommend checking out Barefoot Autism Challenge on Instagram and supporting the organization and the challenge. It was founded and is hosted by Tyler Leach. He is an autistic barefooter, and he has been, you know, barefooting for, you know, a really long time. Anyway, he's done a lot of really, I'm trying to communicate. But you know, he's done a lot of, the great things with, getting a lot of local, activism and stuff like that in his, area, in his state of Iowa. And it's really great to see that. And I definitely recommend checking out and supporting it. This is, you know, a great way. This is how, you know, he advocates for himself and advocates for autism. This is how he also advocates for barefooting to be recognized as the accommodation that it is for autism and for that. And I think it's just such a great way of just pairing those two within his activism and advocacy for himself and for others. And I'm definitely very supportive of that. He's from the conversations that we have had on here, have tried to get him on again this month. There have been some scheduling issues and things like that and some other personal things in his life that I'm not going to get into. So, you know, we have not been able to do that. So, unfortunately, you know, it's just scheduling issues, really. So that happens. That's life. But I hope that we can get him on soon, even if it's not, even if, you know, it's not technically in this month, just to even ask and talk about how the month of April with his Barefoot Autism Challenge went. But, you know, no promises and no pressure on him, of course. But I think it's really great to see, you know, the involvement that he has, you know, gotten from so many different local community groups. And he's been on the news a couple times and things like that. Oh, my gosh, I just remembered. Well, there was a couple weeks back, oh gosh, it's probably longer than a couple weeks back now. Audrey, I think, was interviewed by the news about barefooting rights, but I don't remember if we ever got a link to that. I don't know, but if I can find anything on it, I you know, some kind of you know, thing that you can listen to or look at after, you know, the fact that, you know, of course, it's already aired however long ago. I'll see if I can figure that out at some point. Unfortunately, again, she was not able to be here due to scheduling conflict issues. I don't know. But here we are. And this, my rambles have kind of been all over the place. Sorry, guys. But I definitely recommend checking out Barefoot Autism Challenge on Instagram and supporting his organization, supporting his cause, and just over there. And I think it's just great what he's doing to advocate for both barefooting and autism and understanding. And because I think it's important for people to understand, you know, what an accommodation that it genuinely is for autism. And unfortunately, with autism, you know, being able to advocate for yourself is an incredibly hard thing to do, more so than people realize. There are just so many different aspects of the disability in which communication becomes difficult. There are different points, even for me, where it can become easier or less to accommodate for myself. But, you know, there can be so many issues in which just not really having that ability within you cognitively, or being able to just really access that ability to speak, to advocate for yourself, you know, trauma, forced masking, and, you know, social programming, those are different aspects to making it really hard to advocate for yourself and accommodate for yourself. interoception issues, alexithymia, you know, it can be really hard to recognize what's going on within you. And when you don't know what's going on within you, well, then you really kind of can't advocate for yourself or accommodate for yourself because you don't know what you're experiencing or what you need or what's going on with you. And that is its own issue. But there are so many different issues in which advocating for oneself can definitely be very difficult with autism, and that can look very different for many different autistic people, and it can be really hard to advocate for oneself, but I will say from experience, being able to have an organization or I think being autistic and looking at it as having an organization or a genuine cause and removing it from myself, and maybe this could be part of too with, you know, trauma as well, but definitely with a lot of, you know, with autism, you know, there's this sense of, you know, social justice for a lot of us. And a lot of that can relate to our own experiences and empathy. And sometimes it is easier to advocate for ourselves, you know, through organizations and things like that. I'm saying this from my own experience than it can be on personal levels. I it's been a hard journey learning to advocate for myself, and it's still hard, you know, and I've had so many bad experiences with that, with, you know, my mental health, my physical health, my emotional health, and advocating for myself in so many different scenarios with, you know, medical, mental health situations, and just personal relationships, school, you know, just so much different accommodations, so many different things with school, when I was in high school with different disabilities and things, in college. And, you know, there's so many different aspects of how it can be really hard to advocate for myself, but, you know, being barefoot is legal. Honestly, it's been a big part of me learning to advocate for myself, by advocating for others. And I guess it's hard because for most of my life, I never realized how hard it was for me to advocate for myself, because when it came to protecting other people or standing up for other people, that was something that was so much easier for me. My sense of justice took over. Protecting two younger sisters or two younger siblings in general, you know, from such a young age, that was just a huge part of my identity and who I was. That I didn't understand the disconnection of not being able to really advocate for myself unless I was having a meltdown, especially one where I was losing it and being like, you know, and on someone. And a lot of times it was, you know, I had to set my boundaries. And I did, unfortunately. And it's hard to look back at myself, my younger years, you know, feeling like, oh, my God, what was that, you know, in judgment of myself. But then also having to remember that I had lived in so many situations where so many people had crossed so many lines and took advantage of me and hurt me and so many different things because I had no ability to set boundaries or advocate for myself. And, you know, and it's still an ongoing struggle. And so that's why I do like doing what I do here. And so I do talk a lot about autism awareness and things like that, because it's still hard for me to accept and accommodate and advocate for myself, you know, even though this is my reality, even though every day my partner, even when I'm hating myself, being like, oh my God, why am I like this? You know, I'd be like, dude, you're autistic, like, chill, quit with the self-hate, like, that's textbook autism, like, chill. And, you know, it's still hard to accept myself. It's still hard to advocate for myself. It's still hard to allow myself to exist and to accommodate for myself. And that is, and the reason why I'm sharing this again isn't even just about me. It is about other people who I know are out there that feel the same experiences. And being autistic, people always misinterpret most of what we do as narcissism and attention seeking. When, yes, we do have issues with the separation of self and others, cripplingly so. But with that, for a lot of us, comes with speaking on ourselves when we feel like we are educating, even if we are doing it poorly, feeling like we are helping others and, you know, advocating for others. And so, you know, it is hard, even for the people that may seem confident in their ability to advocate for themselves and accept themselves, and may seem very confident and may seem like they accept and understand themselves, know how to advocate for themselves, know how to accommodate for themselves, and know who they are, may not be as strong or confident or any of that as you think. Excuse me. And, you know, and I have often had a lot of people compliment me on these things, and I'm looking around like, what are you talking about? So I just want to say that the people that may seem as more confident, you know, about accepting themselves, accommodating for themselves, and advocating for themselves, maybe not as confident as you think. And, you know, and when you're not as confident in that, then you do an even poorer job of advocating for yourself. I know, especially too, when I become so frazzled and caught up in the ways that people misunderstand me and misperceive me, it makes it so much harder to have any ability to get the words out right, because I am so overstimulated and I've got all these jumping pieces of, okay, I need to say this, how do I structure this in the proper way, the proper format, because it all comes down with logic and structure, but that only goes so far until you become so overly overstimulated, you're at the oversensory level, they just snap, and you're frustrated and you're angry, and because you've just pushed yourself too far. And, you know, so just take the time to listen to people. Even if somebody seems pretty confident in advocating and accepting and accommodating for themselves, that may not be true at all. And so I just, I don't know, I think that there's so many misconceptions of autism, and people don't realize that a lot of us were really good at masking. It doesn't mean you like our mask. It doesn't mean you like who comes out when we're masking. It doesn't mean you like the way that we mask or present ourselves within our mask, but we're still masking. Just because somebody is masking doesn't mean that it's likable. And what I've actually found is often the older I get, my masks are more unlikable. And, you know, that is a huge part of learning to exist with autism, and even with ADHD as someone who has both, and with having trauma as well. But there are so many different aspects of that, you know, of this existence with autism that are very misunderstood. And, you know, it is often a lot harder for us to advocate for ourselves. And so, you know, it is near the end of, you know, the month, but April, you know, again, is Autism Awareness and Acceptance Month. And I do want to remind people that barefooting is a huge accommodation for many people who are autistic, and for a lot of autistic people, even if they have ADHD and seem more outgoing and seem more extroverted when they're in public, doesn't matter how well they are at masking, it can be incredibly hard to deal with just not even necessarily confrontation, but interaction that is not planned, interaction that is not structured, interaction that you don't have clear rules or ideas or kind of like a baseline on how, like a how-to on how you should react. It's incredibly hard to navigate that for autistic people. And it's because a lot of these social things aren't innate at all. That's kind of what autism is. And a lot of us are really good at hiding and acting like, I mean, I still do it all the time, even in my closest personal relationships. I act like I know what I can't say is going on. Most of the time, I don't. I do not. And I have no idea what I'm supposed to say or how I'm supposed to respond. I care. I care deeply. I have a lot of care. I have a lot of feelings. I have a lot of concerns. But the how to, I can have a lot of opinions on something. And sometimes the having more in our brains on something, the more information we have on something, the more opinions we have on something, the more emotions, more even trauma, the more whatever we have around something, the more data, info in our brain, basically, we have around it, the harder it can be for us to communicate, to get that out, to share things, because it becomes a flood of information flooding our brains. And it's like, how do I structure this? What do I give you? What do I give you? And being autistic, there's a natural urge in the brain to dump all of that on you. And so I think it's important to understand that with this as a part of barefooting awareness and autism awareness, that a lot of the people that you could see barefooting could be autistic and could have no idea or have no ability to really handle the confrontation of you bothering them for no reason, really just harassing them, if you really think about it, questioning them at all about their barefooting. You don't know what that could do for them. Even if they can get through it socially, you don't know what you could have done to wreck the rest of their day. You don't know what you could have done to completely throw off their routine and their structure. Then now they're going to go have a meltdown in their car. Or maybe they can hold it off and bottle it up till they get home or whatever, or they get into whatever safe space that they get into, whether that, you know, be their car or their home or wherever they, and however they process their emotions and feelings and whatever. Like nature is a huge important place for me to do that, especially barefoot. You don't know what that's going to do. I think it's important for people to understand and just understand that barefooting is an accommodation for many people. Even if that person that you see on the street and or in the store or whatever place that you're in, even if barefooting is not some kind of accommodation for them, it doesn't matter. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting. So first of all, leave them alone and just quit. But you don't know what kind of invisible disability that person may have, whether it is autism or it is any other of the innumerable, incountable, invisible disabilities that exist. You don't know what kind of flare-up you are going to cause that person. You don't know what kind of way that you are going to just completely upset this person's nervous system. And that goes on beyond autism, ADHD, and trauma. There are so many autoimmune disorders that you could be triggering and upsetting. And I'm not saying that to be a jerk, but I'm saying that to educate. You don't know who you could end up affecting negatively. So it's better just to mind your own business. You don't know who has an disability and who doesn't in public. And you know what? It's better to assume that this person has an invisible disability, if anything, than to not. When you see some stranger minding their own business in public, barefoot, not causing harm to anyone else. Because by the off chance that they have one and you're assuming they don't because, well, it can't be that common, blah, 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 blah. Honestly, it's probably more logical and likely that the person, it has a legitimate something wrong with them. I hate to say this, but like to why they're barefooting from personal experience as someone who has a lot of things wrong with me, to which barefooting helps. And most of the people I know that barefoot, there's something wrong with them in which it helps, or multiple things. It's better to assume that there is something wrong and that's actually why they're barefooting, because then to assume that it's that they're just some bum or whatever negative, harmful stigma and opinion you want to throw on them because you're uneducated or you just want someone to abuse. I don't know. And whatever. But the thing is, it's better to assume going to cause problems for someone than to not. And believe me, it can be really hard to be socially aware. Like, I am no way the expert on social awareness. On personal levels, I lack a lot of social awareness. Now, in a lot of ways, I come off very socially aware because I've put a lot of learning into social awareness, being a social alien my entire life. Especially as someone that didn't understand why I was a social alien most of my life. So, it really is better to assume. And, you know, even if people come off as confident, extroverted, whatever, even if they come off in a negative light, okay, I'm going to be honest, a lot of us autistic people give off sketchy energy because we're just awkward. We're not doing anything sketchy. We're not trying to be sketchy. We're just uncomfortable and we're awkward. And there are studies that show that most allistic, non-autistic, especially neurotypical people, that when they come into contact with autistic traits or from autistic people, even when these autistic people are masking, there have been studies that have been shown that people often do recognize autism, but they don't recognize it as autism. They recognize it as a lot of harmful things and labels, and even other may label it as other, you know, harmful terms just in general with, you know, that are weaponized with mental health and things like that, because they, one, just don't understand autism. They don't know anything about it. But there is a huge misconception. But a lot of people recognize we're very social awkward. It's very obvious when, even when we're masking our hardest, that there's just something off, you know? And unfortunately, most people assume that that is about our intentions. And, you know, and with that as well, most people, unfortunately, there are a lot of things because of the lack of social awareness with autism that a lot of the reason when other people do it, a lot of the times they do are doing it with more intentional, even if they're hiding it, you know, nefarious reasons. A lot of the times for autistic people, it's just a lack of understanding and knowing. And, you know, and so there's just whatever, even if you don't like someone, I mean, believe me, a lot of my masks are very unlikable. I'm sure sometimes on this show, I seem unlikable. I could be unlikable now for all I know, you know? Ah, you know, it is what it is. That's, you just continue existing in the world and learn to make peace with that, which is hard. And so I encourage you to just leave people alone with barefooting and understanding that, it may look like on the surface to you that they don't struggle with anything other than being a jerk, being blah, 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 whatever harmful label you want to put on them, who knows, right? Whatever. But for all you know, they have multiple even, you know, disabilities and illnesses that are why they're barefooting, and they could have legitimate issues that are keeping them from being able to advocate for themselves. And even if they can in that moment sustain enough to be able to advocate for themselves in that moment, that doesn't mean that this isn't going to completely throw off their day, completely exhaust them, and cause a flare up, whether that's autism or any other disability. And I just think that it's really just important to just lead with compassion and lead with love. You know, I'm not saying you have to be empathetic to the point that you are hurting yourself, you know, and destroying your life. And been there, done that, you know. But I do think we need to have some compassion with people and have some kindness and just not assume the worst about people. Unfortunately, a lot of people assume harmful things, like people are drug addicts and even if someone is, who cares? Actually, I don't even care. Like, first of all, one, that's just a harmful thing to assume, you know, like, oh, just because someone's barefoot, okay, you must be on drugs right now actively and you must be an addict. But even if someone is, who cares? Why are we making this a morality issue? Now, yes, there can be moral debates on things that actions and harm that people cause while they're on substances, right? That's its own thing. But at the same time, that is a legitimate issue for many people. That is a legitimate, like, addiction is a legitimate issue. There are legitimate disorders attached to this. It is genetic, you know? So even if you don't, you know, so I believe that people need rehabilitation. People need help, right? People need to healing. Right. People need healing. People need help. People need rehabilitation and recovery. Putting morality on people's struggles and the things that people do in times of desperation, I think is just harmful. Instead, we need to look on, you know, on the healthier ways of taking accountability and, you know, rather in more positive ways rather than putting shame and blame and guilt on a person. Because, you know, this is a legitimate struggle for many people. But I don't want to get into that. But unfortunately, a lot of people do have a lot of harmful stigmas and ideas. And I think, you know, too, where people, it's like, oh, if you're barefoot, you must be poor, you must be a drug addict, you must be a bum, you're probably a thief, you're on a steal. But think about all these harmful conceptions. At the end of the day, people throw these on the barefooters and have all these harmful ideas about barefooters because people have these harmful ideas about people who are down on their luck, people who struggle with addictions. And you know, addiction is something that is genetic. And unfortunately, anything can be an addiction. And I think most people are more addicted to things than they realize. It's just that it's something that's not socially labeled as an addiction, or there are things that are just now starting to be socially labeled as addictions. And believe me, I'm somebody that struggles with these things to so many different things because of genetics, and it sucks. But I think we need to think about why do people have such negative connotations on people? Why does this overlap with barefooting? And I think people need to have, again, more kindness and compassion. Yes, there are different arguments on the morality of actions that people do on substances. That can be its own thing. You know, like with drinking and driving, you know, and things with DUIs, things like that. Like, and that's not what I'm here to talk about or argue about, but I'm just saying, like, you know, look, I'm not the legal system. I'm not, you know, whatever, but I do think we need to have more compassion with people. And if anything, I will say with addiction issues, even with, you know, chronic pain and nicotine addiction issues, relying on different things for chronic pain, you know, and barefooting becoming, you know, a huge thing that I rely on in a healthy way for chronic pain. Barefooting is something that I think has its role in helping with addiction. And I know this is something that Audrey has talked on before, but I really wish she was on here for us to talk more about this. Let's have compassion with people is my point. I think that a lot of the harmful opinions that people have towards barefooters, I think it just goes so much further about their negative viewpoints that they have on people in general. And we need to have more compassion with people. Everyone deserves, everyone in general, you know, deserves help, deserves recovery, and deserves a chance of those things, just deserves a chance of rehabilitation and accountability and healing and growth. And I think barefooting, though, does actually play a huge role in healing, for sure, with mental health, with physical health, with emotional health, with trauma, and even with addiction. From my own personal experiences, although I am not an expert in that by any means. And I think that whatever aspect of healing there is, I think that there's an aspect of barefooting and grounding that can be found in all of that. And I think that in general we need to have just more kindness with each other, be more forgiving and more understanding in general, which is a very, 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 very hard thing to do. It can be. I'm going to run a quick ad break because I didn't take the ad break at 2, and we have about 35 minutes left of the show. So I'm going to run a quick ad break. Sorry, my rambles have been kind of all over the place. What's new? That's what we do here, I guess. this is Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. And we will be back after the break.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
we buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
To have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce. Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields, from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged. Inside of our bodies, we get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello everyone, I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming fruit shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com. M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields, from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged. Inside of our bodies, we get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as general information, support, and other aspects of living the barefoot lifestyle. And, here we, talk about different aspects of barefooting and what that means. Sorry, let me clear my throat again. Oh, my God. My allergies are killing me. I am sorry, guys. Ugh. The spring is springing. You know, the trees are pollinating. Flowers pollinating. All that pollen in the air. And, oh, my gosh, definitely. With this having a mild winter. More so, at least here. We have more of a mild winter. I know there were a lot of other people that other regions that got abnormally cold winters. Though I'm enjoying the weather though, but the pollen sucks. The bugs are definitely a lot more active this year for sure being out. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting. Important reminder there. There have never been any laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. It is your legal right to barefoot. Barefooting is also a protected right because people barefoot for cultural and heritage reasons. People barefoot for religious and spiritual reasons. People barefoot for medical reasons, whether that be mental health or, physical health, trauma recovery, different aspects of recovery and health there. These are medical reasons. And your mental health is also medical. Even if there are still a lot of people that, don't value mental health or understand your personal mental health experience, that is still something that matters and is important. And you still deserve to accommodate for yourself and have your accommodations respected. And people barefoot, what other key things I might be missing. I don't know. People barefoot because they want to, and it is your legal right to barefoot if you just simply want to. And you don't owe anyone an explanation. There are no health codes against going into restaurants barefoot, eating at a restaurant barefoot. You have that right. There is no laws or health codes against you eating at a restaurant barefoot, or going in and getting takeout from a restaurant barefoot. There's nothing wrong with you being barefoot. There is nothing morally or legally wrong with it. Unfortunately, a lot of people have their own opinions rooted in stigma and fear and outdated propaganda. A lot of the stigmas against barefooting are rooted in hate and bigotry, honestly. A lot of it is. And if we look at it, a lot of it is rooted in classism, hating poor people that couldn't afford shoes. It was racist. It was against people indigenous. To Black people, it was a very, very harmful thing. And it was also, racist against other cultures and religions, practiced, barefooting for specific reasons. There are even, white pagan cultures or, any European rooted, pagan cultures really. If we're going to get into really what it is. European paganism, you know, there are different aspects of barefooting and connecting to the land as well. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who did not like this either. A lot of it is very religious discrimination rooted, especially during the time of the 1950s, 60s, 70s in America. There are so many different aspects of culture, religion, and spirituality and race, and really embedded in the discrimination against barefooting. Just very intentional discrimination that was not just about discriminating against the feet or about cleanliness or about safety, but we're actually rooted in hate. And unfortunately, you know, yes, we've seen some, you know, general growth in society. So even when people forget the original, origins of hate against, you know, an issue of discrimination. And this goes for way more than just barefooting, you know, even just as a general statement. Unfortunately, when people start to lose, like, the, you know, historical and cultural and significant context of bigotry and discrimination, you know, they seem to think that the discrimination at all doesn't exist anymore, or they seem to not really care about it. And they don't understand how some of those implications are still intact. Unfortunately, with racism being what it is, typically it is going to be more unsafe potentially for Black and brown people to be barefoot in areas in which they may not be safe because of racism, being more prevalent. But the truth is racism happens everywhere. And that isn't to scare people. And that's not me trying to, you know, fill the world with fear, because I already know that, you know, that's already a fear. That's a fear you have to live with. That's a fear you're already going to live with, you know? And if that's a fear you don't, you know, live with because you've never had to think about it, you know, before because of your privilege not to, then, you know, use that privilege to advocate for those that are, you know, unable, you know, to, and would be more at risk doing so. And that's something that does worry me. And worries me about the safety of other people. And that's something I've thought about at times, is different people that I know, different people that I care about, that do not have the same experiences I do because of racism, unfortunately, and the color of their skin. Although I may deal with discrimination because of my barefooting, I'm not going to have to be at risk of doing the same level of bigotry and harassment and threat to my safety. Now, yes, as a woman, okay, there may be those aspects to my safety, but again, I can't understand, you know, that same threat that other people experience. And it's something that, you know, does worry me for so many different reasons. excuse me, I'm trying to clear my throat again. Yeah, there are times in my life when I had, you know, had friends who are, you know, Black people who had negative, I'm not like laughing because it's funny, I'm just like, ugh, that nervous, uncomfortable thing where it's like, God, why is the world like this kind of thing I do. I personally had negative experiences in stores just because they were Black. And as teenagers and even, you know, people that I may not have still in my life currently, I still have that empathy, that care with, like, gosh. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I've had negative experiences being autistic, being awkward and just giving off weird energy and being barefoot and things like that. But I can't understand that same experience with that level of hate. And, you know, we do have to be aware that whether it's because of some kind of disability or because of other existing prejudices and bigotry like racism and things like that, you know, not all people can advocate for themselves the same way without putting themselves at risk. Not all people can barefoot the same way without putting themselves at risk for things. And this isn't to, you know, say that, you know, to fear monger, fill the world with fear, but remembering that, you know, for those that have the ability to advocate more for others, use it. Use it to your advantage, use it to your ability. And because unfortunately, not everyone has the same social experience. And, you know, and there are, I mean, there is racist historical context rooted in discrimination around barefooting. And as well, and although not a lot of this is seen overall, you know, in the same way, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the times, Black people, brown people, people of color, you know, they are more at risk for, violence and just unnecessary forms of hate. And that's not to, again, this isn't to scare anyone, but to be seen at in a more negative way. And if anything, this is to validate those that have had such negative ongoing experiences of discrimination, and that has to do with that unfortunate racism at play and the unfortunate opinions that people have of barefooting already, and then pairing that with unfortunate opinions and hateful opinions that just people have because of racism, and pairing those together, that compounding factor that can happen and occur. And I do think it is important for us to be aware of these things and to discuss these things and for people to advocate for them, for each other, you know, and help advocate for those that can't, whether that be because of some kind of disability or because of some other risk to their safety due to discrimination. But also I think it's important for, you know, barefooting to remain something that is inclusive to all people, and to just be something that is inclusive to all people, and just because it is something that I think, like, everyone as a generalization can find benefits from. Yes, I understand that there are so many different people that have different sensory issues, sensory experiences that keep them from barefooting. But, you know, I've been out in nature a lot more lately and barefooting a lot more as the weather has been warmer. And it has been just so freeing. Just it really has been such a freeing thing. And it's just to be able to just be barefoot and touch the ground and touch the earth is such a freeing and liberating thing. And it's something that should be inclusive to everyone that wants to experience it and enjoy it. Shoes can really suck, even when I have to wear them in the winter and in like the colder parts of the spring or colder times in general, because I have to compromise with my body and take into account the way that the cold like dramatically affects my body because my nervous system's dramatic and you know, love it, you know, as much as it sucks and as frustrating as it is, you know, having to make, you know, that compromise, you know, it's something I have to do. It is, you know, and as dramatic and frustrating as, you know, it is that my body has reactions that it does to the cold, again, I have to make that compromise, but it does not mean that shoes do not still suck. And I, you know, in their own way, I'm just lucky that I did find a pair that I think are, that I've been wearing this winter that I do think are like the best shoes invented. And, like, that's saying a lot. But believe me, they still cause problems for me. And it still caused a lot of foot cramps, a lot of issues in my joints and things like that. But it's a trade-off. And, you know, what the cold does is worse for me. While other people may have different experiences where, you know, if for them making that compromise is toughing out the cold more because it actually is the better thing, you know. Having different disabilities, having different sensory experiences, having health issues, it's a push and a pull. It's a tug of war. It is constantly making compromises however you have to for your own well-being, and it really sucks. But there's still hope, you know. I mean, it just, you know, it sucks, but you know, that, and it's okay, you know. It doesn't mean that you're broken. You know, I think it's important to realize that, you know, to have these negative experiences that may be weird, maybe controversial to other people, like, that there should not be shame on you for your disabilities. Nobody deserves to feel ashamed of their disabilities or the limitations of their disabilities. And it's hard because it's something I'm still working through. As someone who has, you know, experienced a lot of shame on me for that, whether that be my autism, my ADHD, or different physical disabilities. My fibromyalgia is very, very, very misunderstood. And fibromyalgia is just a very misunderstood thing. And believe me, it's very complex. It's very confusing. It's very dynamic. It's very up and down. It's hard for me to understand it all the time and always know what's going on and what I need, you know. But nobody should have shame in their disabilities. Nobody should have shame in their barefooting. Nobody should have shame in taking care of themselves and doing what's right for them and taking care of their health. And I know, as much as I say that, it's still a struggle for me. I think the more I say it on here helps me believe it more, if anything. But, you know, everybody has their own limitations, and there should be no shame on you for your disabilities, for your mental health issues, and however you have to take care of that. And, you know, barefooting is something that is natural. It is something that is more safe than people think. It is something that is healthy. It's something that's healthier than people think. And it's something that is just so, I can't explain it. Just being on a dirt path, touching the earth, being barefoot is like, it's like amazing. Like, I don't know. Like, my body could be hurting. Everything could suck in my life, in my brain. I don't know. I could be, I don't know, like, whatever. Feeling like I'm going to implode, having a meltdown, like, whatever. But there is just a peace and a comfort and a sense of safety. And it's like the earth just holding me and is there for me. And, like, barefooting is just such a surreal experience. It's definitely really hard to explain, and it definitely is kind of crazy. And I probably sound kind of crazy, which is, like, whatever. That's fine, dude. I think I've reached my where I need to stop caring. Excuse me. I'm trying to clear my throat again, dude. I'm always having to clear my throat. But, you know, barefooting is definitely something that is healing and is a very sensory, safe experience for me and so many other people. Now, of course, it's not a sensory safe experience for everyone, but there's a lot of stigmas around, you know, barefooting being dangerous. And don't get me wrong, you know, getting really just like, I mean, other than when I have to, I mean, I'm pretty much barefoot, but, like, you know, but getting back into it, you know, it has been a struggle. You're definitely engaging your muscles and your joints and differently. And although that's, like, really helpful and really important, you know, it can definitely come with some pain. It can definitely be painful. It can definitely be hard, you know, as you're working through, you know, tight muscles that have just been tight and not as engaged fully throughout the winter. From wearing shoes, and, you know, it can definitely, you have to rebuild up that tolerance to different, environments, you know, different textures and things like that. Walking on gravel, It's been tricky. It's definitely been like a burn, but it's one of those things where it's just like pushed through the pain, because being barefoot is just so much better for me. Being out in nature is so much better for me. Just push through the pain, you know. Barefooting does sometimes come with that, but it's about knowing the line and the limitation of that. You know, is this pain that is, you know, causing harm, or is this a part, is this like kind of like growing pains? Because unfortunately growth in so many different ways is painful, and your feet have to adapt. But also, you know, for me, I have been very intense sensory experiences. So, you know, for me, when I experience pain, it's often more painful than it really should be. So, you know, you just keep going, tough it out, keep going, and keep walking. And, you know, I've definitely been building up a tolerance. It's definitely something that gets easier. The looser your muscles are, though, in your feet, I would say that definitely the easier it is to walk on gravel, just in terms of a mechanical standpoint, with, like, the body and movement, but also from a pain standpoint. It definitely causes a lot less pain. And barefooting, you definitely feel your feet loosening up. Movement is healing. There's so much esoteric wisdom in the way that movement is healing. But you have to learn to work with your body and work in unity with your body and find the ways that movement is healing with your nervous system. For me, with having shut down so much, there are times where I have to have movement with music and stuff like that. From previous shutdowns, I have to get all that energy, that out, that restricted movement, I have to get that out. Or I have to get it out so I don't have a meltdown or a shutdown. Or even if I am having a meltdown or a shutdown, like, or I did have a shutdown, you know, I still then have to find ways to get movement out with my fibro, with my autism, my ADHD, you know. There are so many different ways, though, too, that just movement is healing, but it's about learning to find the movement that works with your body, whether that be stretching or walking or a combination of both. There are different ways in which you have to balance, you know, being too stuck, and being too still for too long, you know, it's just being too sedentary is bad for the body in general, but from experience, you know, being too stuck for too long, whether that be shutdowns or just being stuck in one position. And I can have shutdowns where I'm stuck in an activity, with repetitive behavior, and don't even realize I'm in a shutdown with repetitive behavior, or I'm doing something and because of lack of awareness of my body, regulation of my body, like with my posture and things like that, I don't realize how I'm sitting or what I'm doing. And that unfortunately is a natural part of autism too. You know, there can be so many different aspects of the way of being still for too long is harmful to my body and can just be harmful to the body in general. While too much movement is also harmful for the body. Pushing your body past its natural level and like its natural limit that it is capable of movement, you know, can cause harm. You know, there's, you know, a little bit of push, you know, a little bit of pain, you know, growing pains, take a little bit on time, push it a little bit more, you know, take it at your own pace. But if you're pushing yourself like way too hard and way too far, you're just doing more damage to yourself. And I've had to learn that with my own conditions, my own experiences, but that goes for pretty much anything. If you push yourself too hard at a point, you're just doing more damage to yourself. And at that point, it's not self-discipline. It's self-harm, which comes from a lack of self-discipline, if anything. And that's something I've also had to learn, that self-harm is rooted in a lack of self-discipline. It's a lack of emotional discipline. It is a lack of finding a healthy way to deal with your emotions or your issues. You know, sometimes I need an intense way with my autism to express my feelings, pent up, you know, anger and not even just anger, just emotions, really, with dealing with a lot of unprocessed emotions and unprocessed traumas. And especially autism, you have to find, you know, a way of getting, you know, things out externally that is equivalent to what you feel internally. And if we don't have a place to safely do that, then we just shut down on it. And like, I do that all the time. Unfortunately, if I don't have a place to safely do that, I'm just going to shut down on it. And, you know, with that, like, movement is so healing and important and crucial, and barefooting is really important and crucial. And I know I'm not really explaining this the best, and, you know, we are short on time, but there are so many ways in which it is important to balance, you know, the limitations of your own, of movement and the, and then, you know, pushing yourself and finding the ways that, you know, movement is healing. And it can be a very hard thing to balance. It can be a very hard thing to navigate for any person. And I hope my ramblings are making sense. It can be hard for me to track my speech and apraxia speech, and then having so many thoughts can make things a little more difficult with that. But there are so many ways in which barefooting is healing to the nervous system, and, you know, so many different aspects of emotional health, mental health, and physical health. And within my own personal experience with ADHD and autism, there is a lot of overlap between my mental and emotional health and the way that they influence each other, just like with my physical health and my physiological health, the overlap between that, you know, psychological and physical health. But the same goes with my fibro, the ways that it affects me neurologically and the way that it is neurological and how that affects me physically and then mentally, and creates almost like false emotional experiences when you're in those survival states. There are so many different aspects in which these overlap, but there's so many different ways I've realized that my mental emotional health can be two completely different things and two completely different experiences within me, and it can be very frustrating. And then that's also kind of different than the cognitive aspect of mental health. And having executive function issues can definitely create mental health issues, and you can't think rationally. You can create so much crazy just from not having good executive function to be able to think rationally in general. From that can come delusions. And when you're in burnout or you're in meltdown state and at sensory overload, and barefooting is a huge thing that helps ground that and helps reel me back and helps give me my life back. Being in nature is what gives me my life back, gives me control over myself. And it is a really hard process, just got the 90-second warning. But barefooting is something that gives me control and myself. Being barefoot in nature especially, it's something that helps give me control over myself and my body. I think being barefoot in nature and connecting with the earth is literally one of the most healing things ever. And I don't care if I sound crazy, because, I mean, there is information and research out there. If you want to check out what I do have available on the link tree, our link tree is link tree with a period in between the R and the first E in tree, linktree.com/barefootislegal. If you go to that, you can find some links and stuff. But barefooting is healing on so many different levels, and there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces in the United States. That includes being at restaurants. There are no laws against driving barefoot. And just be nice, be kind, help when you can. Don't be a jerk. I probably butchered Audrey's saying, but keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. Like I said earlier, it's better to assume that when you see someone barefoot, that they're barefooting for some kind of disability, and just to leave them alone and to be respectful of it. But just got a 10-second warning. Live your best barefoot lifestyle, guys. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio. See you next week. Take care.